All right, brethren, let's go to Leviticus chapter 1. I wanted a message that would help us to remember our Lord at his table. And this will speak into my heart. I pray it'll speak to yours. Leviticus 1, let's read the first 9 verses. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. All we have to do is just come here, sit down, hear the gospel preached, sing praises to him, do what we can to help one another. That was worship. That was them doing what we're doing right here. Now, if a sinner comes to God and he expects to be accepted of God. Any sinner comes to God and wants to be accepted of God, then we have to come with an offering. We have to come with an offering. What is our offering? What is our offering? No matter who the sinner is, we have to come to God only with the offering that God commands. That's the only offering we can come with, is the offering God commands. We must come with the offering God our Father has himself provided for his people. What they had there, this herd, God provided it. Everything they had there, God provided it. And if we're going to come to God, we have to come with the offering God has himself provided. And we have to come with the only offering God will receive. There's just one offering God will receive. It's the offering that God commands. It's the offering God himself provided. It's the only offering God himself will receive. It's his Son. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the offering that we have to come to God with. God declared through Malachi, he spoke of Christ coming, and he said when Christ had purified his people, Then each shall come with the offering that God requires. Malachi 3:3, listen to this. He said, he's talking about Christ, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. That's his people. That's his people. He makes priests unto God. He'll purify us. He will. He'll do the purifying. He'll purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And here's why, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Christ is that offering in righteousness. Christ is that offering in righteousness. The Lord purifies his people. He comes and purifies his people so that we come to God only with the offering that God's provided. We come to God with the only offering God will receive. That's his son. We come to him with this one offering that he's provided that he'll receive. That's Christ, his son. We have to come with his son. But we have to be purified to know that. We have to be purified to offer this offering in righteousness. How do we bring this offering to the Lord? How do we bring it? Christ is already in glory. How do we bring this offering to the Lord? We saw last week, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. Coming to God by faith, if we're doing it by faith, whatever it is, by faith in Christ, we bring God the offering in righteousness. That's what we're bringing, by faith. When we're doing what we're doing by faith, trusting Christ, we're bringing God the offering he'll receive. That is Christ Jesus, our righteousness. He's the only righteousness of every true believer, and he's the only offering to God that God will receive us in. It's the Lord Jesus. Only through faith in Christ does God accept his child as righteous and holy. Only through faith in Christ. And that only in the righteousness and holiness of Christ his son. Even our spiritual sacrifices, our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving and our remembering Christ at his table, baptism, any good work we do, all must be performed with faith in Christ. That's how you bring the offering to God, believing on his son. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, it's only through faith in Christ that we, ourselves, are going to be accepted of God. And it's only through faith in Christ that any offering we offer to God, any spiritual offering, is going to be accepted of God. Only through faith in Christ. But now when he accepts it in Christ, he's going to accept it as perfect and righteous in Christ. Perfect. Must be perfect to be accepted. That's what God said concerning these offerings. It must be perfect to be accepted. You remember over in Exodus 28:38. Let's look at this. It'd be good to see it. It's been a while since we saw this. But you remember this whenever Aaron wore the gold plate that had the inscription on it that said, Holiness to the Lord. Remember this? Look at why he wore this. Exodus 28:38. He's the high priest, and he wore this. He wore this in the tabernacle. And look at verse 38. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. See that? The Apostle Paul, I showed you this morning, as a regenerated believer, he said he's sanctified, he's set apart, he's separated unto the Lord. And he said, when I would do good, when I would bring my holy gifts, when I would bring my holy sacrifices, evil is present with me. Evil's present with me. So for God's saints, when we worship, first of all, he has to make us worship. He has worships in the heart, and he has to give us the ability to worship, to sing, when we pray, when we observe the ordinances, any good work that he's motivated you to do. It has iniquity mixed with it. It has iniquity mixed with it due to our sin nature. That's just so. Christ Jesus, our high priest, is our holiness unto the Lord. That's what's pictured in Aaron there in the holy place with his holiness to the Lord. And so whatever we do in faith, he's made us holy. He's entered in and he's given you a new nature. so that you actually believe him and you come to him, but we still need him because we have this sin nature. And so whatever we do in faith, it's in and by Christ that it's going to come to God in righteousness. It's going to come to God holy, it's going to come to God accepted in Christ. You get what I'm saying? This offering's Christ. We have to come, anything we do, we have to come in Christ. Because Christ has borne the iniquity of our holy gifts. He's borne the iniquity of our holy presence that we're going to present to God. You ever think about that? You know, we think about the sins Christ died for of being like, you know, all our sins. But brethren, Christ had to die for the iniquity right here that we're committing while we worship. He died for that too. He bore the iniquity of the holy things. He bore your iniquity when you're doing as you ought by his grace. So be it a first time that a sinner comes to the Lord, or be it the worship and the good works of God's saints, when we do it with faith in Christ, and we have to come with faith in Christ, we have to be looking to him. Not to one another, not to ourselves. We have to be looking to him. We have to be doing it with him being our motive and our focus and our attention and our affection. And we want to see him and be in him and be found in him by the Lord. And when we do that, we're confessing to God in everything we do that Christ is our only acceptance with God. This is why America do a good work and it's trying to come to God by that good work, and it's not going to be accepted. Why? Because that's why he did it. He did it with the motive of trying to get God to accept him. That's not how you're going to be accepted. If you're doing it out of a thankfulness to God and for what he's done for you and how he saved you and made you righteous, and you're doing it believing Christ, trusting Christ, then it comes to God through Christ and it's righteous and holy. It's perfect in him, because that's what we're confessing. Even in the very best thing I would ever do, I'm confessing I have to come to God through faith in Christ. This won't be accepted if it's just of me. That's this offering. That's what we're looking at with the offering there. Now here in Leviticus, every offering that the children of Israel were commanded to bring, the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering, they all typify Christ. And then there's some aspect of what Christ did and what he accomplished for his people is typified in each of these. It takes all these different sacrifices, all that furniture, and all the tabernacle, and all the priest's garments, and all of that was picturing Christ. Because we can't exhaust all the things that glorify him. And everything he did in this tabernacle was to show us him. And each one of them individually has a lot of different types in them of pointing us to Christ. When we go to these scriptures, anytime, anywhere, that's who we want to see. We want to see Christ. We want to hear something about how he's redeemed us, how he's keeping us, how he's saving us, how we can be accepted in him. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to see him. That's the only way God will receive us. That's why he commanded Moses. You tell them, if they bring an offering to me, this is how they have to come. It's how they have to come. It all pictures coming to the Lord in Christ. All right, now let's look at this a little bit. And what I want to show you here is that this bullock and this burnt offering was given by God to picture Christ's accomplished work of satisfying divine justice for his people, making us holy so that we can come to God accepted. All right, let's see. First of all, let's see how this offering pictures Christ. Verse 3, he says, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, our Lord Jesus Christ came down and became a man that he might be amongst the herd. He came down to be one of his own, one of his people, chosen from among men. That's where the high priest had to come from. And there's a picture here in this offering as well. A bullock here, if it's an ox or it's a bull, bullock's just a generic name for every horned cattle, if it had horns. Now, the bullock pictures Christ in this. He was the most valuable offering. This bullock was valuable. I mean, if you had cattle, and this was, you're talking about one of your most valuable livestock right here. The very best a person had to give. Now, there's also offerings in here for people that didn't have money to have bullocks. He provided for them, too. They could bring a pigeon. And that's showing you Christ is the Savior of all kinds of people, rich, poor, male, female, Jew, Gentile. He's the Savior of all his people, no matter where we are in this life. But God provided the very best. That's what we see, first of all. God provided the very best. He gave his Son. He gave his only begotten Son, the very best. And his Son gave the very best. He gave everything. He gave his life. God provided his only begotten Son. I was praying for my children last night, and I was asking God to protect them and save them. And I thought about it, and I thought, I can't help but be selfish in my prayers. And a thought came to me. I'm praying to him who gave his only begotten Son for me. And I'm asking him, Lord, don't let anything happen to my child. Don't let anything happen to my children, if it's your will. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave his best. And also, the bullock was the strongest of the offerings. God says of Christ, I've laid help on one that's mighty. One that's mighty. Christ is the mighty God. He's the one mediator between God and men. He's our mighty Redeemer. That's who he is. Wherefore, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It doesn't matter how utterly ruined a sinner is. It doesn't matter how utterly cast down he is. He's able to save to the uttermost. That's who he is. He's mighty to save. And in the bullock typifies Christ, because Christ is the holy man. He said in verse 3, let him offer a male without blemish. A male without blemish. The first head, Adam, was a male, and he had no blemish, but he failed. He sinned, and he caused all of us to have blemishes. Sin, dead, and trespasses and sins. All of us. And God didn't come and mend up that old man. He didn't come and say, well, I'll patch him up and use a little bit of what's left of him. Wasn't nothing left to use. He puts a new man in you, Christ in you. Hope of glory. But our Lord Jesus, he's the last Adam, and he had to be the holy God-man. He had to be without blemish, and he came forth totally without blemish. Holy. Holy. Christ had to be holy to take our place. He couldn't take the place of his sinful people unless he's holy. If he had something to pay himself, he couldn't pay anything for his people. And then the offering had to be offered voluntarily. It had to be offered willingly. Verse 3, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. You know, everything about salvation is done voluntarily and willingly. Everything. Everything. God the Father willingly gave his only begotten Son. He willingly chose his people and entered covenant with his Son and gave his Son. And his Son willingly, voluntarily became surety of his people and came forth in the time appointed and willingly, voluntarily went to the cross. Didn't have to be coerced. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father. And it's this very thing, seeing Christ and seeing him making this offering for his people and what he's done for us, is the power that makes us willing to voluntarily come to God with this one offering that God will receive, his Son, faith in his Son. And even the place of this offering typifies Christ. In verse 3, he said there, He brings it to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. The door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. This door, you know the tabernacle, how it was set up. Remember, it came to the outer door, and then, you know, you went on in, and you had the holiest of holies, and a door that went into the tabernacle, and then there was the holiest of holies, and you could only go under it, under the veil. But this is the outer door right here is where this at, the outer door. Now, that innermost part, that typifies what Christ has done in the holiest of holies in God's presence. But this outer door right here represents this earth where Christ served the Father, where he offered himself to God. It's where his people enter into Christ by faith. He's the door. This is how we have to enter. We have to come by him. And that's why this, that's where the brazen altar was right there. For burnt offerings. And it was that altar that sanctified the gift. We have an altar, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I started out saying. He's the altar. He sanctifies us and he sanctifies the gift, the offering. Christ sanctified himself and he sanctified his people by his one offering. He made us perfect in him by his one offering. And every gift that we bring to God is because he's come to us and sanctified us inwardly and created this new man and given us faith to come voluntarily, willingly, with the one offering God will receive, and we come this way. And we never stop coming this one way, coming to him by faith all our days, trusting him, believing him. And we're bringing to God whatever it is you're doing, whatever, if you're just saying thank you to him, you're doing it in the upon the altar, you're doing it in the name of our Lord Jesus so that it comes to him accepted. Only way. So we see some things here. It shows us how this all is picturing Christ. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. You want to see Christ on the cross. You want to see Christ on the cross. Verse 4, he says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. Now, this is the person who brings it. He's going to put his hand up on the head of the burnt offering. But before we look at the man putting his hand on the head of the burnt offering, let's see what took place between God the Father and his Son. What happened between God the Father and his Son? Christ presented himself to God his Father. He's the bullet. He presented himself to God his Father without blemish, holy, spotless, and God made a divine transference that only God could do. In order to justify his people, in order to make us righteous, God had to lay all the sins of his people, all the sins of his elect on the Lord Jesus, on his sinless substitute that he had provided, and God judged him in our room instead. God poured out judgment on him in our room instead. He's the very image of what this shadow, what this ceremony pictured. Christ is. That's what Hebrews tells us. And this was ceremonially done right here, but on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ was bearing the sin of his people. He made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now in this ceremony, the person that's bringing this offering, he comes there and he lays his hand on the head of this sacrifice. This represents a sinner believing on Christ. Believing on Christ. Now, what's he confessing? What are you confessing when you confess faith in Christ? What's this laying our hands on him? What's it confessing? He's confessing that we believe, this is what we're confessing, because we see what God's done. We're confessing, we really believe that God laid all our sins on Christ. We really believe that. He did that back there. We believe that. And we're coming to God one way. We have to come only in his righteousness. And we're confessing, we believe he is the one who made us the righteousness of God. I can't do it. That's what we're saying by faith in Christ. I cannot make myself righteous. I can't do anything to make myself accepted in the perfect righteousness God demands. I fall short of the glory of God. And I have to come in Christ. And because Christ made his people the righteousness of God in him, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God imputes to you the righteousness of Christ and makes you know it in the core of your conscience that he is your righteousness. Because he made his people righteous. By one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. And he makes you know that in your heart. Makes you know that in your heart. I'm going to keep preaching this, keep preaching this. Maybe I said this to y'all, but this just happened the other day. Somebody had heard something, and they come up to the preacher, and he said, "I have never heard that before." And the preacher told me, he said, "Clay," he said, "I bet I've preached this 200 times. And it was the first time they heard it. Don't take for granted somebody's heard what you've said. God's got to make them hear it. And so I'm gonna keep saying it now because this is it. We're here today doing what? We're here today laying our hand on the head of the bullet. We're here today laying our hands on Christ, confessing he's the only way we can come to God. He's all our hope, all our righteousness, all our acceptance. Now notice the next word, verse 4, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. I like that. He says he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Christ made atonement for his people by his precious blood. He made atonement. When a sinner comes to God through faith in Christ, God accepts us in Christ. You get that now? When you come to God confessing, "I can't do anything. I can't save myself. I can't make myself righteous. I can't provide what I need to be accepted of God." And you come there with the hand of faith laid on the head of Christ. God accepts. He accepts you. He accepts you. The Hebrew word there for atonement, it shall be accepted. The bullock will be accepted. Christ will be accepted for you in your place. That's what faith's saying. "Lord, don't look to me, look to him." It'll be accepted for you. He'll be accepted for you to make atonement for you. To make atonement for you. The Hebrew word atonement means to cover. It means to cancel sins. It means to make satisfaction for offenses. The blood of Christ covered and canceled and made satisfaction for every elect child for whom he died, for the sins of every elect child for whom he died. That's what he accomplished. He made satisfaction to God's justice for his people. That's what he meant when he said it is finished. That's why the veil in the temple rent from top to bottom. That's why it rent from top to bottom. The Lord saying he's fulfilled everything that was written. And he's ushered in this new everlasting covenant of grace. He's everything promised in that covenant. By doing it, Christ reconciled us to God. He made at-one-ment for God and his people. We were separated. We couldn't come together. We couldn't be one because of our sins. And our Lord Jesus Christ came. And he took all the sins of his people on himself and bore all the justice of God that God had to pour out on them. He said, "Pour it out on me. Don't pour it out on that one. Pour it out on me." He did that for the offended parties, for both of them. And by doing that, he brought them together in one, made them one, made at one atonement by his blood, laying down his life for his people. Made us one with God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sin. A sin-atoning sacrifice for our sin. And he did it for us when we didn't love him. When we didn't love him. So he accomplished atonement by being made a curse for us. That's what he did. He was willing to be made a curse for us. Man, he could have just come and condemned us. We was guilty. We was guilty. We deserved the curse. But he didn't. What did he do? He came and took our sin so that God could make him the curse and free us from the curse, free his people from the curse. Verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. Now, the person that brought the sacrifice actually did the killing in this instant. That's what faith is confessing to. I'm the one that slew my Lord Jesus. I'm the one. Well, God did it. Yes, he did it. He did it for his people. But I'm the reason our Lord was on that cross. That's what his people are confessing by faith. I'm the reason he was there on that cross. But do you see here that bullock now had the sin put on him ceremonially, and now he must die. Now the bullock has to be killed before the Lord. That's what the scripture is telling us when it says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And then he's typified in the priest. Christ is typified in the priest. He performed the whole work himself. It said, verse 5, and the priests, Aaron's sons, you mean he's typified in the common priest too? Yep. Yep. He really became one with us. That's who the common priest typifies, his people that he's made priests. Christ really became one with us to make us who he is and what he is, and everything that he is what he's God imputes to us. So the priests, Aaron's sons, they'll bring the blood and they'll sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that's by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Only the priests could do this. We don't have to guess who they represent. Listen to Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews 10:11. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Leviticus 17:11 said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. They took the blood of this bullock. This blood had to be poured out of this bullock, and they took the life, that blood. Life's in the blood. I've given it to you, God said, upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It's the blood. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Why is this so important? Because the wages of sin is death. We earn that. A wage, you earn it. We earned it. All God's people earn these wages by our sin. We earn death. God owed us something. He owed us death, condemnation, the curse. And so Christ took all the wages. He himself took the wages. He was paid the wages, the death, the curse fell on him. And he poured out his own life's blood unto death. That's what the justice required of us. That's why it says, Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, for his people. That's what he did. That's why he entered in. He obtained it. But this is essential now. Don't miss this. Not only did justice have to be satisfied, the law had to be honored in righteousness from a perfect, holy heart. There's a positive and a negative to that law. I know men want to, you know, it's justification and sanctification are two different things. But the way Christ justified us involved him being our sanctification and our sanctifier. He did what he did, not only paying the receiving the wages that was owed to us, which is death, but he suffered all of that in perfect, holy obedience to God from a holy heart. Listen to verse 6. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that's on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, and of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now you know Scripture, washing and water points us to the work of the Holy Spirit. It points us to the Holy Spirit. Well, with the sins of his people laid on him, think about this now. We're going to observe the Lord's table. With the sins of his people laid on him, while his body was broken justly, while he was bearing the fire of divine justice and being made a curse for us, at the same time, inwardly, through the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself without spot to God. Same time. God, only God could do that. Only God could do that. We're remembering the Lord at his table. And of the wine, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. The blood, the life's what made a remission of sin. And of the bread, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. This is the power and wisdom of God right here. This is it. This is the power and wisdom that Christ and him crucified is right here. Christ bore our sins and thus justly bore the fiery curse of God's justice to justify his people. That's what he accomplished. And while he did that, inwardly it was all holy obedience, fulfilling the Father's will. And Hebrews 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once. You get that? He's the righteousness and holiness. When he satisfied the penalty of justice, and while he did it, he fulfilled the love of the law from a perfectly holy heart. He did both right there on the cross. And this is what God makes us behold by faith, when of God Christ is made unto us righteousness and sanctification. That's when you behold he's both. What about our sanctification? Well, that's how you behold it. When the Holy Spirit enters in and gives you life and gives you eyes to see, and of God Christ is made unto you righteousness, your justifying righteousness, and your sanctification. And the good news is, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Everything he did, we did. Everything he is, we are. This is why true sanctification makes you look out of yourself and away from yourself to him and cast it all on him. And when you see how that, while you see this and you see he's your righteousness and your sanctification, you see what wisdom of God to be able to justify you and do and be merciful to you and do it in harmony with his justice. And so he's made wisdom to you. He gives you the mind of Christ so that you can actually discern. And what does the mind of Christ do when he gives you discernment? You look to him who's your wisdom. You see what these things he works in us is to turn to look to him. It all brings you to look to him. And not only that, when you see that he accomplished redeeming you from that curse, he made unto you redemption. Everything. So we preach Christ and him crucified. That's why. It's all right there. This is a sweet savor to every believer because it's how we're accepted of God. Verse 9, he says, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. God was pleased. The law was honored. Justice was satisfied. His people were justified. God was glorified. This is why God will only receive a sinner and only receive our worship and our good works when we come through faith in his Son. This is why we got to come with this offering. The only way God will receive you is by the finished work of Christ. So you come to Christ the door, and you lay your hand of faith upon Christ, on the head of Christ, and you confess your need of him to save you, and put all your trust on him, and God delights to show mercy for the sake of his son. And every believer, everything you do, when we come in here, We should take some time before we come in here, enough time to, you just can't rush in and expect to worship. Enough time to get your mind set on the Lord and be thinking on what you're about to hear and ask him, Lord, let me worship today. Will you, by your will, let me worship? Will you give me the ability to worship you today, to enter in by faith? Because that's the only way we're going to get it, is if it's by faith and him speaking to us, and it's through faith, from faith to faith. And here's what he said. Whatever you're doing for him, do it by faith, looking to him. Everything. And he says this, take with you words. And turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, and so will we render the calves the bullocks of our lips. God is going to have his people glorify him. That's why he's not going to let us receive any glory for any part of the salvation being of us. We're going to glorify him. And this bullock, this calf right here, also pictures what we offer. We offer thanks to God, and we praise God, and we thank him for saving us in Christ Jesus. That's what faith's doing too, praising him and thanking him and giving him all the glory. And now, for each one of us who've been given faith by our Lord to discern our Lord's body, that's the key here in this table, is discerning his body, discerning his blood, discerning what he did and who he is and what he accomplished by what we're, these elements picture here. For you that by faith set your heart on him and discern and think about what he did in these, by his broken body and his shed blood. Even this that we do right here, the only way this is going to be well-pleasing in God's sight is if it comes up to God in Christ by you believing on his son. This is not going to give you, it's not going to make you anything. It's going to point you to him who makes you everything and help you remember him. And it's by faith that we even do this in any way that's pleasing to God. Remembering him. Believe in him, trust in him. All right.